weekend. And it's a very, very important time for family gatherings, cookouts, fireworks. Been a little bit different this year, but we've still been able to get together in places. And so I still was able to get together with people that are very, very important to me. And we had a good time. And there were fireworks in the streets. And so dogs didn't like it, and some of the kids didn't like it, but it was nice anyway. And we enjoyed it. We want to remember how important it is that God blesses our country. And what an honor and privilege it is to be able to call the United States our home. It is indeed a privilege. We're not perfect. But if we pull together and with God's help, we will be even better than we are each passing day. For over 200 years, we have continued to get better. We've had snags along the way, and we've had things we've had to address, and we'll have things we will need to address going forward. But if we are one nation under God, and we're a people that are committed to life and liberty, we will make it, and we will be strong. But it's that under God that is so important. For the children's story today, I had a birthday cake with one candle on it. And we talked about that and had a little significance about, you know, birthdays and all of that. But the thing that I wanted the children to know this week is how many candles was on the cake? One. Then we turned the picture of the cake over, and there was a three-letter word, the letter G, O, and D. Now everybody knows what we were trying to connect. One candle and God. We're celebrating our country's birthday. We are one nation under God. Now, I went back and wanted to look at a little bit of history and some interesting things. You know, we celebrate July 4th, but the decision, the vote to separate from England was on July 2nd. It was not until the 4th, 2 days later, that it was ratified. But the vote was actually 2 days earlier. And so it was ratified on the 4th. July 4th did not become a federal holiday until 1870, after the Civil War. 1870. And for federal employees, it did not become a paid holiday until 1941. So it's a lot of interesting things when we go back and look at history and really take a good look at it. But then I also got to think about, what is it about the Declaration of Independence that we hold so dear? Why is it so important to us? And here are a couple of phrases that speak to our hearts, no matter from what part of life we come from. Here's what the framers of the Declaration of Independence thought was very important. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, if we don't remember them and we don't practice them, they won't be what? Self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, it said all men are created equal. That's a cultural phenomenon. That was the expression at that time. What would we say today and it would mean the same thing? All people. Same intent. All people are created equal, and they're endowed by their creator. Now, I didn't create myself. Did you create yourself? No. We're children of God. We're endowed by our creator with unalienable rights. And what are these rights? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is a right that we have. Liberty is a right that we have. the pursuit of happiness. Now notice, did it say you're going to be happy? No. It said the pursuit of happiness. And then if you look at the very end of the document, you find some interesting words. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world, that's God again, we solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, again, God being brought into the picture, we mutually pledge to each other. Now, I'm going to give you this pledge. It's three things. Three things that was pledged. And the question that each one of us wants to ask is two questions. How do we feel about this with respect to our country? And how do we feel about this with respect to our relationship with God? Here's what they pledged. We mutually pledge to each other, first, our lives. Second, our fortunes. That means they were digging into their pockets. Our fortunes. And then finally, our sacred honor. Honor matters. Honor and respect is something we can't command that from each other. That's something that's given freely. So, lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we ask that you bless the United States of America. Help us continue to be one nation under God. Strengthen us as a people. We are a diverse people, but we are your children. Provide us with the direction and the guidance that we need, so that we become a people who value each other's character, gifts, and talents. May we strive to treat each other with respect, and as we practice unconditional love towards each other, may we embrace justice for all within the context of your grace, your mercy, and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, beautiful for stay.
we stand for as a country is always worth defending. And persons have paid the ultimate price with their lives. And as we go through all the challenges that we face today, may we remember that we are one nation under God still. Today, in the message, I want to pick up on the Declaration of Independence and extend it and reflect on what I like to call is Jesus' Declaration of Independence and his guarantee. Jesus has given his life for each of you and for me. Freely it was given. Jesus has forgiven my sins and your sins. Through that death on the cross. And that wasn't pretty. Remember, the cross was a form of capital punishment. It was very harsh. Yet it is the symbol of our faith. It reminds us of the lengths that Jesus went to that we may be free in God. Death could not contain him. Death could not defeat him. He is our Lord and our Savior. And as we learned last week, or as we mentioned and reinforced last week, eternal life is already what? Happening for each one of us. It's not a deferred blessing. It's now. And it's both and. So may we experience God's unconditional love and grace. May we realize that we are new creations, that our lives have been transformed. And may we also know that one day we will meet Jesus face to face. We will meet him. Now, we don't think about it often, but I will tell you, as I get older, I do think about it more often. But we will meet Jesus face to face. And we may meet him. Some of us may meet him before we die. We just don't know when. But we will meet him face to face. Paul helps us to understand that in our scripture passage today on 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. It's a very intriguing and a very curious passage that is in the Bible, and it's one that is a lot of persons have had a lot of trouble with. Paul gives us some very clear assurances in this passage. And we may not understand all the details, but don't overlook the assurances that are there. It's the assurances that matter, and that will be what we will focus on. So I'm really looking forward to being able to bring God's word on this topic. I've never preached on it before, but I have to admit, I was looking forward to this. Because this is important. It matters. It's a deal breaker. Now, before getting into all of that, there's some happy things that we want to, and by the way, what I'm going to tell you about is happy. We have some birthdays this week. Many of you know Peyton Massey. Many of you know Mason Massey. Both of them have birthdays on the same day. Two Masseys from two different families, but the same day. And so, Friday, July 10th, they're both celebrating birthday. So we want to wish them a happy birthday. Also, Chris and Amanda, anniversary on Monday. So do remember them. Anniversaries are important, and they are significant milestones in our lives. And they do get sweeter every year. And by the way, does the love grow deeper? Yes, it does. In ways that you never imagined when you first said, I do. Life has a way of enriching you through all of the twists and the turns that you go through. And let me tell you, we've all had twists and turns. And I always remember what Ruth Graham used to say about Billy Graham. You may have heard this. She didn't want to leave him, but she had thought about killing him on a couple of occasions. So there, I think everybody knows. I think everybody knows what I mean. So we do love and we do cherish and we do honor the commitments that we have. In terms of prayer concerns, continue to remember Laurie and Mike. Laurie continues to make progress, but it's a day-by-day thing. And it's a long-term commitment. And so please continue to lift up the perseverance, because it takes a lot each day to keep going through that process day in and day out. And so we lift them up and ask for strength and encouragement. And to Laura's family, the dedication that they have. I also want to continue to remember Emily Leeds as she continues to battle with cancer. Sue Alloway is now at the Bryan Center and is able, is there. And so her cell phone still works. But she is at the Bryan Center. Juanita and Aubrey are continuing to make progress. Aubrey was in the hospital this past week. Infections and some of it had gotten a little more serious, some sepsis, which we know is no joke. But on the way in today, the phone rang. Carol answered, and Juanita wanted to let us know that Aubrey is back in the nursing home. So continue to lift him up. He has at least made it from the hospital back to the nursing home. So we want to continue to remember him there. Also, continue to lift up Ann Williams and Linda Fogelman and William Small. They're at the coast. I got to give William credit. He keeps on going. I hope that each one of us, if we were facing something like that, would have the determination to keep on going and enjoying every bit of life that you have, as long as you have it, whether you feel what, like it or not. That's the choice a lot of times, to keep pushing through. And so continue to lift all of them up. Also continue to remember Ray Insko. My understanding is that the doctors are going to consider some chemo treatment as a way of trying to get it to where he can perhaps have surgery. So we will pray that treatment can be successful and that the surgery can take place. Also, want to remind you or let you know that Ray's cousin, Ken, I think it's his cousin, Kenneth Insko, passed away this week. And so you want to remember the Insko family in that. And then finally, I have an update on Brian Blaylock. I mentioned last week Brian was in the youth group when I was, or around that age, when I was at Bragtown many years ago. And he recently had been hospitalized, but they have determined it is acute leukemia. And so he is going through those treatments now. So please continue to remember him in your prayers as well. Are there any others that we need to lift up or any updates that we need to provide today? If not, Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we lift up each person that is mentioned here today, and also persons that have not been mentioned, but are on persons' minds. Whether you're here, sitting with us today, outside, enjoying the service, or whether you're listening on the podcast, we lift up these persons to you, and we ask for your healing presence, your calming peace. We continue to pray for persons who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. May your Holy Spirit empower us and your church to reach those who do not know you or no longer want to know you. Lord, we pray for the revival of all your churches, that we may become Great Commission churches. May our evangelistic spirit be restored. May our fellowship be strengthened. May our ministries and our commitment to these ministries grow. And may we continue to mentor those who are new to the faith and are growing in the faith. Lord, help us to be your ambassadors in word and in deed. And may our words and actions be consistent. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is my country.
Jesus came that we may have life eternal. He came that we would know that we are God's children and that God's favor is upon us and that we are beneficiaries of His love and His grace and His mercy and that peace. Even in the midst of everything that is going on right now, that grace, love, mercy, and favor is still upon us. But today I want to talk about Jesus' declaration and a guarantee. The guarantee is that Jesus will return. A lot of people don't talk about that, but it's there. It's in the Bible. Jesus will return. Now, when I think about guarantees, I have to admit, I've got something etched in my brain that I'll probably never forget. How many of you have ever seen the movie Tommy Boy? You ever seen that movie? It's funny. And you know he's going, his dad's company is just in a mess, and so he's going out trying to see if he can save it. And there's this critical turning point. And one of the persons that he's trying to sell a contract to wants a guarantee. Y'all remember what his response was? Held up a box. We'll pretend this is a box. He says, a guarantee is nothing but what? Words on a box. Do you want words on a box or something that what? Works. Jesus has told us He's the real deal. Eternal life works. It matters. And so I want to ask you three questions today. And we'll begin with the first one. Who is Jesus? Second, what is He guaranteed? And third, as a country and as individuals, what will we do? Three questions. Three important questions. So I'd like to begin with God. And so if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Isaiah. And we'll look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3a. There's some assurances here that are very, very important and very powerful that we don't want to forget. So let's listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. And He did redeem us through Jesus on the cross. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. God knows my name, and God knows your name. God knows who you are. I will be with you when. Now, what's important about that phrase? I will be with you when. When means what? At some point, some things will happen. At some point, some things happen in our life. And they're not always things that we necessarily like. But God will be what? With you and with me. So whenever it comes, we don't have to throw our hands up and say, where is God? God's right there. You just might not feel it. You might not see it. You might not be able to see it or feel it. But it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. For he says, when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. That's a promise. When it happens, you won't be overwhelmed. You will not be scorched. And I like this next phrase because there's a song by Ernie Hobson's Signature Sound, Walking Through Fire. Sometimes we have to walk through fire. And as Isaiah says, you will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. Now, when Jesus came, these prophecies were what? And these assurances were fulfilled. They were underscored, even more so. So, as God is our deliverer, God is our Savior, God is our Lord, we can also say the same for Jesus. Remember last week, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent who? His only Son. Why? So that whoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have life everlasting. And furthermore, he came not to destroy the world, but to what? Save it. We have work to do. We've been commissioned to go and to tell others about Jesus. I think back to John 10:10. And you know, we've had a little extra time to be confined. If you haven't read through the Gospel of John, you know, we read through it one time before. Read through it again. The Gospel of John is a powerful, powerful gospel. I want to remind you of a couple of other things besides John 3:16. Take a look at John 10:10. I want to quote this verse to you. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That kind of resonates today, doesn't it? A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Abundant life. Abundant life. And what else does John tell us about Jesus? In the Old Testament, anybody remember the name for God? Anybody remember it? I am. I am. What do we have in the Gospel of John? Do you ever see the word I am in the Gospel of John? You see it a lot. You see it often. In fact, Phil and I have talked about doing a sermon series on the I am statements that are in John. So what does John remind us about who Jesus is? I am, the name for God. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pretty comprehensive, isn't it? That is Jesus' declaration of independence for each one of us. We have access to the bread of life. We have the good shepherd who walks with us. We are able to see through God's light. And we light up the world. We are resurrected people. We are the true vine, and it's living. It's not cut from the tree. It's living. And we are the way. Jesus has reminded us he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So do we really know this Jesus? Have we committed to this Jesus that we've just heard about? That is the gospel. Now, there's a second question. What has Jesus promised us? So now, if you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The Thessalonians the people at Thessalonica were a young congregation, and they had a lot of questions. And one of their concerns were, well, what about those that have gone on before? And so Paul attempts to comfort them and encourage them by sharing with them what he believes to be true and what he knows to be true. And so he begins in verse 13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Now, what is he saying? We have hope. Don't forget, we have hope. Now, we may grieve, but we still have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. Jesus was resurrected. We are what? Resurrected. That's it. You don't have to complicate it. It's a promise. For we say this to you by word from the Lord. Now, there's a lot of debate over what that phrase means among scholars, and I can give you the consensus of the scholarly opinion. The consensus is we don't know. My point is that's a good point, because is it that important? What's important is that we've got a word from what? The Lord. What has God told us? What has Jesus told us? We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Now, this is getting into some apocalyptic imagery. But this imagery is so, so critical. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the archangel's voice, and the trumpet of the Lord, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Voice, clouds, angel. All of these images, trumpet sound. Here's what I know. Many of you have heard me tell this story before. But I had an aunt who really wasn't my blood aunt, but she was an aunt. And she was like blood. And Carol had the opportunity to spend her last night on earth with her, Earlene Horton. You've heard me talk about her before. She shared a story. I want you to think about what you would be thinking about if you'd been in the room and you heard this story. Now, she was on medications and all this, that, and the other. And you can always give some physiological explanations of things, but I look at physiological explanations the same way I look at icebergs. You can see part of it, and it's a whole lot of it you don't see. So what is it that was shared? Here's what she said. And if I get it wrong, correct me. She says, I see Jesus. He's coming, and he's on a white horse, and he's coming for me. And then she looked at Carol and said, and one day he's coming for you
She didn't say anything about me, so I might be in trouble. I know I put that. But my point is this. He's coming. I don't believe that was just a figment of imagination. I don't believe that was just stress. I don't think that was just the brain going haywire. Because it's too accurate. So Jesus is coming, just as it's talked about in this passage. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we always will be with the Lord. Now, the technical term for that phrase is rapture, to be caught up. Here's the important point. We will be with God. We will be with Christ. We will be with Christ when he comes, those of us who believe. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So let's delve into this a little bit. What is this passage really getting to? David Jeremiah, in a book called The Book of Signs, which came out just last year, looks at 31 different prophecies that are in the Bible. But here's a statistic that I find very, very interesting. The New Testament contains 260 chapters. Jesus' return to earth, the second coming, the parousia, is referred to 318 times. I believe it's important. 318 times. Did you also know that there have been 4 raptures in the Bible already? And 2 that are still to come. 4 have already happened. So think back for a second. Enoch, Hebrews 11:5. Enoch didn't experience death. He went straight to what? God. That's a rapture. He was caught up and taken to God. Elijah. Remember Elisha and Elijah are together? That passage in 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, verse 11. Elijah is carried up in a chariot of what? Fire. Into the whirlwind. A rapture. Jesus. Remember when we were talking about Acts? And we spent all this time with Acts? And if you look at verses 9 through 11 in the very first chapter of Acts, when the disciples and followers and others were there in Galilee, and Jesus is what? Taken up into the cloud, and there are 2 persons there along with them speaking, and say, the same way that this Jesus has been what? Taken up, he will what? Return. And then Paul. Talks about knowing a man 14 years ago. Well, there's a debate. Is that man Paul? Is he talking from firsthand experience? And he talks about being lifted up into the third heaven. And that he heard, he experienced words that he couldn't utter. Unutterable. But he knew what they meant. Now, those are 4 raptures taken up to the heavens that are already in the Bible. What are the 2 to come? We just read one of them. The rapture of believers and of the church when Jesus returns. When is that going to happen? We can't say. Jesus told us you're not going to know when. But we're told that it will happen. And in the other, a book that I really like a lot, Revelation, the two witnesses. The two witnesses will be murdered, but they will be taken up to be with God. Four raptures already taken place, two more to come. So the Bible is very clear about this. Jesus is coming, and we will be with him. When will this happen? We don't know. Some argue that Paul thought he might see it in his own time. David Jeremiah has talked about, in many different occasions, are we living in those last days? Are we in the midst of experiencing that? We could be. We may not be. We do know that things are very challenging right now. And we also know this. And this helps us understand it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we have the following scripture. Dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like a 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay. Now get this. But is patient with you. That's us. Those who hear the word. Those who are still alive. Those who still continue to have the opportunity to hear it and to share it. But is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So we're on God's time, not our time. And God is patient. But at some point, Jesus will return. That is the guarantee. But until then, we are commissioned to share the good news. So I want to go back to the framers of our Declaration of Independence and the commitment that they agreed to when they ratified it on July 4th. They pledged their lives, their resources, and their honor to this new nation. Are we willing to do the same thing for Jesus Christ and the gospel? Because here's one thing that I know. Our nation is only as strong as our commitment is to God. And the Bible tells us that if we will commit to pray, God will hear our prayers. And I do believe that there is a new revival coming, that there is a revolution of the faith coming, that there will be a third great awakening, and it will be from Christians from all walks of life, and many people who do not look like us will come together to proclaim the gospel of love, peace, hope, unconditional love, eternal life. You see, that's what's at stake. Let me get you to the third question. Where does our country stand with all of this? Let me share two scenarios. Now, I asked Jessica a question earlier today because I wanted to see if this book was still being taught and if she had heard of it. Many of you I know here have heard it, and it's good to know that it's still being read. Because it's important. Some of you may remember a book by Huxley called Brave New World. I remember reading that. It was a really interesting book. Some of you may have seen the movie Lord of the Flies, where you saw the utopian society of young boys and the decisions that they made. And some of you have read George Orwell's book, 1984. I remember reading both Orwell's book and Huxley's book in high school. I remember the book quite well. Let me share with you a summary of the book. And all I ask is you think about one thing. Are you seeing any of this now? Here is the summary of the book. Orwell's 1984 takes place in Oceania. Within this society, Orwell describes four ministries that are under the figurehead. Anybody remember who the leader was? Big Brother. Big Brother. What are the four ministries? Now this gives me chills. The ministry of love. The ministry of peace. The ministry of plenty. And the ministry of truth. Now the reason it gives me chills is not because of what you think it is. See, we know this as Jesus' ministry of love, peace, plenty, and truth. But this is not what Orwell describes. Orwell describes this. The ministry of peace actually perpetuated unending wars. The ministry of love oversaw suffering and torture against those who would not adhere to the party line. The ministry of plenty weaponized starvation through socialism. And then there was the ministry of truth, the propaganda arm of the government media that employed doublethink and newspeak as the official dialectic of the state. Newspeak represented control language, restricted grammar, limited vocabulary, and a linguistic design meant to limit freedom of thought, personal identity, self-expression, free will, anything that contradicted Big Brother and the party. Chilling. There's an alternative, though. Here's the alternative. Jesus' first word in the Gospel of Mark is this: the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. In the midst of whatever we may be facing, God's kingdom is already here. It's in our midst. Are we part of it? And then in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he reminds us quite clearly as to what that kingdom looks like and how it would operate. So let me share with you and reinforce for a moment some words that we know quite well, but maybe sometimes we forget too quickly. So in describing this kingdom of God, let's go back to the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Two different choices. Very different choices. Two very different worlds described in these two accounts. And so to go full circle, as a country, we live in some very interesting and challenging times. And so I want to ask the question. Will we remain one nation under God? Will we continue to proclaim the kingdom of God? Will we continue to share that? Or, as a nation and as a people, will we become more like Orwell's 1984? We have a choice. So, as a nation, what will be our decision when it comes to be one nation under God? Will we remain that way? As individuals, what is our stance towards Jesus? Is he simply just a good man? Or is he the Son of God and our Lord and our Savior? So whether we're here, sitting here in this parking lot, or listening to this over the podcast, our relationship to Jesus matters. And if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now, right where you are, by opening your heart and asking God to forgive you of your sins and to accept that eternal life and that grace and that love which he freely offers. If you want to recharge your life, I don't like the word rededication. I don't think it's got enough meat in it. Think about it. Think of it this way. Do you desire to be on fire for God? Do you want to be on fire for God? Do you want to reaffirm that commitment to the gospel, to share it? We can also do that right where we are. I pray that the Lord will get a hold of each one of us and shake us so hard that we can't sleep. And I did say that. I pray that the Lord will get a hold of us and shake us up as his people, and that we will boldly share the gospel, practice what we preach, and be consistent between what we say and how we what? Act. Don't give mixed messages. Be consistent in what we do. So as we enjoy the rest of our 4th of July weekend, remember this. Hebrews 13:8. We started off this year with this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. God is good all the time, and the people said, all the time, God is good.